Quaker minister and advocate of religious freedom who also founded Pennsylvania wrote about the dangers of jealousy. Listen to these words. Jealousy is kind of a civil war in the soul, where judgment and imagination are at perpetual odds. Nothing stands safe in its way. Nature, interest, religion must yield to its fury. It violates contracts, dissolves society, breaks wedlock, betrays friends and neighbors. Nobody is good, and everyone is either doing or designing a mischief. It has venom that bites. On our 260 journey today, we find Paul ensnared in the consequences of jealousy. Paul had just finished preaching in Thessalonica, and he left to preach in Berea, and jealousy was about to enter the picture. Here it is, Acts 17, 10 through 12. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. His trip from Thessalonica to Berea was a 60-mile journey, 60 miles to walk and preach the gospel. While he was there, he was seeing success, and it says that many of them believed, but then another group made the 60-mile walk. Not only does love and mission make you walk 60 miles, hate and jealousy and anger will make you walk that far too. The Jews of Thessalonica were walking after them to mess up Paul's journey. They hated Paul in Thessalonica. They were so jealous of him that they wanted to make his life miserable 60 miles from their own hometown. When the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, they also came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. They all started this in their hometown, which we read about in verses 5 through 7. Here it is. The Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. Attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." Instead of letting it go and saying, "At least they're out of our city," their jealousy made them walk 60 miles. It takes about 45 minutes to walk 3 miles. If you're walking at a brisk pace, you do the math. That's at least 15 hours of walking. They couldn't let it go. They couldn't be happy that Paul and Silas were out of their town. They had to go and wreak havoc in another city for them. That is the power of jealousy. There is a distinction between jealousy and envy. To envy or covet is to want something that belongs to another person. The 10th commandment says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servants or his female servants or his ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." That's what Moses said in Exodus 20:17. In contrast, jealousy is the fear that something we possess will be taken away by another person. Although jealousy can apply to our jobs, our possessions, and our reputations, the word more often refers to anxiety that comes when we are afraid the affections of a loved one might be lost to a rival. We fear that our mates or perhaps our children will be lured away by some other person who, when compared to us, seems to be more attractive, capable, and successful. Jealousy is a form of hatred built upon insecurity and fear. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of losing their influence to the gospel, and they projected it on Paul. It was really Jesus, but Paul was the spokesperson, so their insecurity and fear made them go after Paul. The story is told of a great English preacher, F.B. Meyer, and his struggle with jealousy when another great English preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, returned to England after being in America. Meyer admitted to some friends, "It was easy to pray for the success of Campbell Morgan when he was in America, but when he came back to England and took a church near mine, it was something different. The old Adam in me was inclined to jealousy, but I got my heel upon his head, and whether I felt right toward my friend, I determined to act right." F.B. Meyer's jealousy is that insecurity that said, "You are close, now I don't want you to do so well. Do well in America, but don't do well around the corner." As R.T. Kendall wrote in Jealousy, it takes minimal grace to weep with those who weep. It takes a lot of grace to rejoice with those who rejoice. That second part, rejoicing with those who rejoice, really reveals the heart. Rejoicing with those who rejoice is saying they got blessed and you didn't, and that you're okay with that. Can you and I be joyful when other people are blessed by God? That is a sure sign of jealousy being defeated. Those 60-mile walkers did not like all those people believing. Instead of rejoicing that lives were being changed, they saw it as Judaism no longer holding the leading voice in their lives because Jesus now is. Let's make it a point today to rejoice with someone. How do we rejoice with someone? By loving them. The presence of jealousy means the absence of love. Paul reminds us of that in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Here it is. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. That's love when you refuse to be jealous.